Hello, hello, hello. My name is Jan Desper Peters, and I am the host of the BTST Services podcast, Meeting You Where You Are, where factual information, informative information, and just current events is what we try to do to meet you where you are. We want to give you the most up-to-date and provocative, sometimes, information that we can. I hope you are safe. I hope you are healthy in this season of COVID-19. I really am excited. I'm going to say excited to be in this space at this time, because when I look back on my life and on the lives of the people in my space, let's say 10 or 20 years from now, these podcasts will chronicle what's going on in our world. And I look forward to seeing that, almost like a time capsule. How many of you out there are practicing social distancing, sheltering in place, washing your hands for 20 seconds, making sure that you're not in overcrowded places? And if you feel sick or are sick or have someone in your home, to stay at home. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to just shelter in place. Like, that's a term that wasn't even in my repertoire before now, sheltering in place, because I did a lot of what my mother used to call ripping and running. And so it's sometimes difficult to shelter in place. And you have to prioritize. You have to decide what is important. Is the right now important? Or is it important that in 6 months or 6 weeks even, I'm able to be in a space where I can see my loved ones? And many of our loved ones are 60 and over. I myself am approaching 60, so not yet, but almost. And so I think it's important for us to talk about some of the high-risk categories that we have heard about in the news through our health experts. And one of those is seniors or seasoned saints, however you want to categorize them or however they want to categorize themselves, as it relates to the high risk population. And so today we're going to be talking with a couple of people who are going to share information from a citywide level. I'm in Baltimore City. The gentleman that I'm going to be talking to is a council member in Baltimore City. There also is going to be on our show today a woman who is the director of a senior center. And then we're going to have a senior who's going to talk about how this has been for her. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to my guest, Mr. Robert Stokes. Mr. Stokes, council member Stokes, is a lifelong resident of East Baltimore. East Baltimore born and raised, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. And is a proud graduate of Paul Lawrence Dunbar High School. And his career in public service began in 1984 as a campaign coordinator for the former city councilman, Edwin Johnson. He was also the 45th Legislative District co-campaign coordinator for former Mayor Kurt Schmoke. In 1998, as a liaison to City Council President Lawrence Bell, Councilmember Stokes spearheaded several community-based initiatives with service providers, demonstrating his keen sensitivity for resident needs. He actually reached out to us because there are several senior buildings in his district, and he wanted the opportunity to share not only what's going on in those senior centers, but what's going on in the world. Mr. Stokes, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. How are you handling the sheltering in place?
I think I done sheltered over my shelter. I probably done sheltered for other people, because within a month, I think I've been outside 3 times.
Okay.
So tell me shelter. I understand, because this is serious and we can't play with it or take it for granted.
We absolutely can't. We absolutely can't. So what have you, I'm curious to know what people are doing, not necessarily day by day, but what one thing have you learned about yourself from being, inside for these number of weeks?
I've learned actually that I get a lot more done. It's quiet. I can concentrate on my work as the city council in the 12th district. And I've learned how to kind of do that in a quiet way, because when you run into meetings, you have a council meeting, you have hearings, I chair the executive appointment. So everything is fast moving. This kind of settle you down a little bit, and you really can concentrate on some of the things you want done, concentrate on some of the current concerns that constituents have that call and email me or my staff.
So yesterday in the news, the report was that Governor Hogan was going to start easing some of the shelter in place restrictions and going into, I guess, phase one of the relaxation or the coming out of the shelter in place executive orders that he put in place on in March. And so I also read that Mayor Young and other mayors and county executives may not follow that same schedule. They may, because of the hospitalizations and deaths in their particular jurisdictions, are looking at a different schedule. Can you share with us what's going on in Baltimore as it relates to that?
Well, the governor gave the mayor and the county executive that discretion whenever they want to do it. I look at it and looking at the data, and that's what Mayor Young was talking about, and all the county executives, they're going by the data. My other concern, if you said 40% of the people that's catching it are Black or African Americans, I have a real problem with that. And I think Mayor Young and county executive want to be careful how they open it up. And the other piece I had, I read that Rite Aid is doing some free testing. They're doing one in Baltimore County. I talked to Councilman Julian Jones, who grew up around the corner from me in East Baltimore, and they only have one. My concern is, if you talking about 40% of the people statewide, and I'm gonna find out in the city how many African Americans are picking up this virus, but we don't have a free testing from Rite Aid or Walgreens in the Black community. That disturbs me. You know, if you're gonna tell me it's 40%, but everywhere else the free testing is outside of Baltimore City. That's a big concern for me and for people here in the city.
I agree with you. I mean, if you listen to any of the health experts, they say the three T's that are going to continue to flatten the curve are testing, testing, and testing. I mean, there are other T's as well, tracing and treatment. But that testing piece is so important. And I think the last statistic I heard is that less than 1% of the American population has actually been tested. And so this is still a grave concern for us as it relates to, especially in our communities, where the number, again, of deaths and hospitalizations are so high.
I believe the governor had 500 testing kits.
500,000.
500,000, and he only used 1.1% of the kits.
Right.
But if you don't really have the data in front of you that is affecting African Americans, why don't we, again, have free testing from, we don't have a Rite Aid no more. But we got a Walgreens, they're the same people.
Right.
So we have a testing here in Baltimore City at Walgreens so we can test people and not wait till they even have to get a referral or go to the doctor and find out that they might have it. So that's a big concern. I was disturbed to hear that Rite Aid or Walgreens are not doing no testing here in Baltimore City.
Which is also a sign of the lack of cultural sensitivity and the heightened environment we're in as it relates to health disparities, because many people, low-income people, people that are maybe marginalized or most vulnerable, don't have a primary care physician. So you feel sick, they usually go to the emergency room. Now they're telling us don't come to the emergency room because almost unless you're on your deathbed, they're going to send you back home.
Well, you know, in Milwaukee, they introduced a resolution called racism as a systemic health crisis. Well, right. I just went on the council Monday. I call it systemic. They call it racism because we can't go back to the same thing as what we were doing before. I look at the East Baltimore Medical Center in my district on right off of Harford Road, and Latrobe Homes Development is right across the street. I don't think half of the people that Latrobe Homes go into the East Baltimore Medical Center. One, if they have not reached out, they don't feel like it's there for them. Right. If they call, they might go there. But they probably, I can guarantee you, half of them don't know what kind of health programs they have in the East Baltimore Medical Center. So I reached out to the medical director, and he want to have that conversation, and he agreed that we can't go back and act like this is going to be all. We go back to our comfort spots. Right. So we'll be having a conversation to talk about how do we do the outreach with the East Baltimore Medical Center, not just Latrobe, but you have other neighborhoods, you have other people that live around there, and we need to start addressing that issue in the city, because if we don't, it's not going to go away. It's going to get worse. And our people, Black people, have to understand, you got to do this social distancing. It's serious. We can't be hugging each other, hanging around. We love each other. That's how we greet each other. But we cannot play with this. And that's the reason why I introduced the resolution. And we're going to actually have a hearing on it. And they just did it in Pennsylvania this week. So it's an issue that's not just in Baltimore, not just Milwaukee, but now it's showing up in a lot of other states about this systemic racism as a health crisis. And we talking about mass incarceration, we talking about housing, we talking about education, and now the onion has been peeled.
Right.
So now we have a health crisis in this city, not just here, but African Americans with all these underlying issues they have.
And so what specifically is your legislation addressing?
Is addressing the start that bigger conversation, because in Milwaukee, they created a commission.
Okay.
Again, I say we can't go back and act like this is not happening anymore. So the idea is to bring in the community, bring in other health, Johns Hopkins, one of the best hospitals in the country, Mercy Hospital, LifeBridge Health, bring them in and start having a conversation, because if we don't understand that African Americans or people of color have some health issues, if we don't have the conversation, then this, not just this kind of COVID-19, they talk about some other disease coming. So, I mean, we got to be on top of this and make sure that people get checked for their diabetes and pressure and all that we don't always do.
Right. And I appreciate the fact that you're doing that. I think it's important. And I think it's also timely because, like you said, they've already predicted that we're going to have some, I don't know if it's going to be a more intense form of COVID-19, or maybe it's going to be COVID-20, but they're already predicting that we're going to have a similar kind of, I'm not going to call it pandemic, I'm not going to speak that into existence, but there are going to be some issues around this that's going to be more harsh than the flu, which is what some people tried to make us believe that this was. And so as we transition to bring in our other guests, could you tell us a little bit about why you had this intense concern for seniors?
Well, because I talked to a lot of seniors. They call me. I want to thank Mr. Leonard Bass and Dante Johnson, who've been feeding the seniors, Francisca Center. What happened was I reached out to Anquan Bolden, who was a former Raven, and I said, we have like Francisca Center in my district, but we have LifeBridge Health, we have the Baltimore Community Foundation, we have the Maryland Food Bank. I said, and they running out of money, but they've been very good to the seniors in my district. They feed them every week, and they call me and say, thank you for thinking about me. So after I talked to him, a week later, he called back to Francisca Center, and they called me and thanked me, said, hey, the NFL and the Players Association called, they donating $50,000. To our organization to buy food, but they actually donated $200,000 off of one phone call. And that's the commitment that Anquan Bolden, who was part of the Players Association in the NFL, he made that one call. So I looked at that, and then I just introduced some legislation, because we know what's happening in nursing homes with our seniors.
Absolutely.
But we have senior buildings here in Baltimore under HABC, under HUD. So I introduced a resolution for a hearing for those agencies, HABC, HUD, all those buildings that's under HUD authority, to give the council a report on when you sanitize in the building, what day you sanitize, what time you sanitize, because the seniors now are saying, we don't see that. And a lot of them don't see it probably because they're scared to come out. Exactly. So the idea was, when you do it, it should be posted in the common areas. It should be posted on the elevator. So when the seniors come out, they at least feel comfortable about coming to pick up their mail.
Right.
Right now, that's not happening. So, and even City Hall, what happens, about five people in the council president's office had to go home and quarantine. So I'm saying, when I got to go back to City Hall, right, I want to see the same thing in those common areas on the elevators, because you have guests to come in there. So that was just another piece of legislation. I think that really make our seniors feel better. I also have some masks that somebody donated. I'm giving it to the seniors. So when they come out and pick up their mail, they have something to cover up their face and they feel a lot more comfortable.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. And I also have Miss Lynette Burgess. She's the area property manager for Parkview at Ashland Terrace. Miss Burgess, are you there?
Trying to unmute. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, and yourself?
Good, good. And you have with you Miss Elizabeth Kinsler, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes. And I see you are trying to social distance as much as you can and be on my screen, so I appreciate it. Thank you so much. So were you able to hear any of what Council Member Stokes was saying?
So I heard the last tidbit that he was talking about, the sanitization. So my company, we put into play almost from day one sanitation logs. So we have an on-site person that cleans our buildings every day, and she's here for 8 hours. And on top of that, my maintenance staff as well is going behind her doing high-touch areas throughout the day. And we have been keeping sanitation logs since March in reference to cleaning in the areas and what time of day and who the person was that cleaned the area.
So at Parkview, how many units do you have? How many seniors are in your building?
So we have 74 apartments here at Parkview. Probably in total, we have a little under 100 residents. Mm-hmm. So in our residents, the majority of them, I call them the originals. They've been here since the building opened in 2007. So they help us without us even having to ask to keep the building maintained and keep things in order when we're not always around. And especially Ms. Kinsler.
Okay, all right, Ms. Kinsler. Do you have, you said you've been keeping a log, and so basically the person you have on staff 8 hours a day to maintain sanitation, and then you have a maintenance person, they're the ones that maintain that log for you.
So I'm the maintenance guy and myself maintain the log because okay. The cleaning person, she doesn't speak English very well. So all of the parts of the building that she's responsible for, I log into the log. It's guy log his activity into the log.
Okay, all right. Miss Kinsler, how are you? This is Jan Peters. I am the host of the Meeting You Where You Are podcast. You're on a podcast, Miss.
Oh, well, good. Ms. Kinsler,
nice meeting you too. So tell us how you're feeling. Tell us how you're feeling.
I feel good.
You feel good?
Yeah, I feel okay. Wonderful. Only thing, just isolated.
Right, right. But so have you been out at all?
Pardon?
Have you been out at all since the shelter in place order?
Yes.
Okay. And where do you normally go?
Only to the market.
Only to the market.
Okay. To the market. My doctor gives me the appointments over the camera. Over the
okay. Phone. So you're getting schooled on telehealth.
Yes. Yeah.
How do you like telehealth, Miss?
It's good. It's good.
It's good. Okay. Yeah. All right. And what about your family and friends? Have you been able to stay in contact with them?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. My children are very, very close. They call 2 or 3 times a day.
Right, right.
Keep touch.
Okay, very good. And so how do you feel as it relates to the environment you're in? You are comfortable that the building manager, Ms. Burgess here, is sensitive to your needs and is on top of it?
Everything. Yes, she is. She's very attentive.
Okay. All right. So, Miss Ms. Burgess, what kinds of things, and Ms. Kinsler can jump in as well, what kinds of things have you noticed or would you suggest to help seniors with that isolation? That's one of the things that Ms. Kinsler mentioned was the isolation, and Councilmember Stokes and I were talking as well when he said the same thing, you know, basically that he didn't have a problem staying inside. He knew how serious it was, but, you know, maybe sometimes there was just a need to just be around other people.
Well, it does present a difficult problem at times. The one good thing about my residents here at Parkville Ashland Terrace, a lot of them interact with one another all the time. So a lot of them check on each other on the telephone. They help each other out. So like we give out lunch and dinner daily. So I have some residents that will come and get the meals for the other residents that may not be able to come out their house. So they have a real family-oriented vibe going on here. And it's always been that way. I think the challenge now is that, you know, they can't meet in the community room or they can't sit in the lobby. So a lot of the times if I'm running through the building delivering notices, I'll turn a bin and I'll run into somebody in the hall. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing in the hall? Oh, I just needed to get out for some air. It's stuffy in the apartment. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you be careful. So, you know, I don't fuss at them like, you know, you need to stay in your apartment, because I get that sometimes they have to come out of that apartment, even if it's just to walk down the hall and come back.
Right.
You know, so it's just one of those things where myself and my staff try to pay a lot of attention to. And for the residents that I know that really don't have anybody, my assistants check on them, call them and see how they're doing. I have a lot of them that I have to call to check on them or I'll be in trouble and they'll let me know. So, you know, it's a whole team effort between my staff and the residents to really just take care of each other. And the one thing that made this possible is the fact that they was already taking care of each other.
Right, exactly. So I was curious to know, you said you have almost 100 residents in your building. Is there any case that you know of someone contracting COVID-19?
No.
That's wonderful.
It is.
That's a blessing.
It really is. It absolutely is. And I'm so thankful for that each and every day.
Right. And it's a testimony to the fact that sheltering in place and maintaining physical distance, and maybe even when you're interacting with someone that you wear a mask, that they probably are very diligent about, you know, washing their hands. All those things play a part in the fact that you have no cases of anyone reported, you know, having being tested positive for COVID-19. That's wonderful.
It is. It's absolutely wonderful. And like I said, we are so thankful for that each and every day. And the thing about the seniors here, like, we've sent out a lot of COVID updates, information, as my company was getting information, and we were sending out information for resources and things of that nature, just to let them know that just because you're sheltering in place, that is still people working to make sure that you are okay. And we're still putting in the effort to make sure that our residents are okay. Because where a lot of people, like at my corporate office, ran for the hills and went home, the on-site staff was essential.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things where, and I was good with that because I was given the option to work at home 4 hours a day and work in the office, but I'm here 8 hours out the day.
Right, and you've been there since day one.
Yes, because I feel more comfortable that if something happens that I'm present versus teleworking, because my office is set up so my assistant and I can social distance. So it's one of those things where it's like I feel better with my presence being here with them. So if somebody, and I mean, I've had a few people where, you know, I called them or they called me, and like, I really just had to go to their apartment door and just be like, crack the door, listen. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be okay. You're not in this by yourself. We're still around if you need us, blah, blah, blah. Because I did not want them to feel that it was nobody here for them because the world had shut down. And because I've already had those relationships built with them and I know a lot of the personalities. So like, I know the ones that if they call, I need to hop over the phone and be like, okay, is everything okay? And if I get a call from somebody I normally don't get a call from, then I know I need to pay some special attention to them because it could be something going on and they don't just want to come right out and say. So it's just really meeting their needs during this time more than anything else, just to make sure that they are okay physically, mentally, spiritually, as best as we can with the cards that we've been dealt.
So I'm just curious to know if you have encountered any of your residents who may be challenged with technology, and that's a reason why they're not able to be in touch with their loved ones, their friends. Because you know, we have so much technology now with FaceTime and, you know, even this Zoom call that we're on where we can see each other. So that gives you some comfort to be able to see the person, you know, kind of in real time as opposed to just looking at a still picture. And we know that seniors can sometimes be challenged with technology.
Well, a lot of my seniors here are very challenged and they don't want no parts of it. But some of them, like Ms. Kinsler, her children probably taught her how to do the telemed, the work, all of that. So some of the residents, they have children and grandchildren who have helped them to be able to do those things. And then I just have a really good majority of them that just don't want no parts of it. It's like, call my house phone. I don't have a cell phone. So, and it's really like that's their comfort zone. It's like they don't want to move into the modern technology because they have control over what they're used to. So it's like being, again, meeting them where they are. So like my company offered a lot of things online during this situation. So a lot of them called me and was like, oh, I can't. And I had to talk them off the ledge, like, it's okay.
Right.
You don't have to do it this way. This is just another tool in the toolbox.
Right.
If you choose to use it, but it's not mandatory because we just had to take certain steps to ensure that we can continue running this building in case we didn't know how long the world would be shut down. So, you know, just to tell them that, you know, these things are being put in place just in case.
Yes.
And not substituting anything that you're already comfortable with. We're still going to work with the things that you're comfortable with because I don't want anybody having panic attacks. And a lot of the times they have panic attacks over the technology. So,
well, Councilmember Stokes, would you like to jump in now and, you know, share some of your thoughts on what you've been hearing from Ms. Burgess and Ms. Kinsler?
Well, I'm gonna tell you, Ms. Burgess has been wonderful. Everything I offer, when I talked about the food, I want to talk about Cynthia Brooks, Big Addie's daughter, who donated chicken to those residents there. Again, Francisca Center have been wonderful. The seniors have, Ms. Burgess has sent that back. They said, thank you for looking out for me. Mm-hmm. I've been coming down there for a while. I've been knowing Ms. Elizabeth for a while also, because she owed me some chicken salad. I haven't gotten it yet. It's going on 8 years, Miss Elizabeth. I'm still waiting for the chicken. But I remember being in there because I used to come down there when I worked for Councilman Carl Stokes and eat lunch with them. So she had some chicken salad. I'm like, oh my God, it tastes like my mom's food, you know? And she couldn't get rid of me after that. So the seniors are happy and actually just talking to them. We have a young lady who lives in East Baltimore. She's a tech, Anisha Best. And what she want to do is to teach the seniors how, if they have a iPhone, they don't have an iPhone, they can download the app so they can talk to their family members, their relatives, and their friends. So we're going to be doing that with our seniors throughout the building, but we're going to start at Ms. Lynette's building because I hear a lot of HA HUD. I got an email about HUD. the president saying the people's upset because they're not letting people in the building because of this COVID-19, and I understand that. But if we can teach our seniors how to use their phone, how to download that app if they don't have an iPhone, then they can talk to their friends, they can talk to their relatives, their grandkids, their granddaughters, or just their sisters and brothers. So that's another mechanism that I'm looking forward to implementing in all the senior buildings, but we're gonna start at Ms. Lynette's building.
So Ms. Burgess, if you don't live in that building or work there, then there's no entrance allowed.
So we put out notification to the residents asking them, well, telling them that because the governor had put the stay at home order in effect, that only visitors that were assisting with essential needs should enter the building. Mm-hmm. And what I can say in the senior building, they are adhering to that better than my family building. Okay. So technically we can't tell people not to, but we just ask,
strongly advise,
ask that to let your family know, hey, don't come to visit unless they are providing an essential service to you, because this is a senior population, and they are more susceptible to the virus. And because we wanted to keep them well as best as we could. And so a lot of people adhered to it. It's a few that did not. And I have security officers in the building in the evening. So if I get reports about, you know, people coming in and they're being rude and they're not coming in to provide an essential service, I just call that resident and then send them notification in writing like, listen, you know, people just cannot be coming to visit because you're their grandma. I get that. If they're coming to bring you food or medicine or to take you to the supermarket, that's all good and fine, but they cannot come to stay and they cannot just be running in and out of the building because you live here.
Right.
You know, so, and, you know, we want to keep you safe and all of your neighbors. So it wasn't too much of a challenge in this building. And I was thankful for that because I was really concerned that because some of our seniors, they'll let family members take advantage of them, you know, when they don't have any place to stay and all of that. And it's just like, well, you can't stay here.
Right, right. Well, you know, the social media was a buzz on Sunday when it was Mother's Day. And I was thinking, oh my God, so many people are in violation on Mother's Day. It was just like, it was almost like, Lord, just give us a pass on Mother's Day, you know, so we can go see Mom and them, you know, and Grandma and Mima. And, you know, we just really, really love our mothers. And I was just so nervous when I saw all that explosion on Mother's Day. And I pray that we don't see, you know, a rise in the curve because of that.
And that's actually the reason why, that's the reason why Miss Alicia Best, who grew up in East Baltimore, and she have, she's a tech person. And we've been talking about this, exactly what we talk about, when we can get this out. So even if it's a grandmother's birthday, you know, right. You can use your phone and see your grandmother and say happy birthday. You can send her a card, but you can see her over either the WebEx y'all doing or the Zoom, but they can actually see that on their phone. So we don't have what we seen Mother's Day was kind of scary to me because nobody was social distancing at all. I mean, it can be your grandma, it would be your sister and brother, but if you're not around the same people that you've been around and you find, and then you go around other people and you bring that back to your grandmother, your aunt, sister, your brother, that's a real issue that we need to keep talking about and making people know how important it is to just can't go out and be around people you haven't been around for a long time.
Yeah, and if I could drop one word, it would be asymptomatic, because people will say, I feel fine. I don't have any coronavirus. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to test positive. But because we don't have enough testing going on in our communities, which is Council Member Stokes's point, you don't know if you have it or not, because you could feel fine and have it and then go see grandma and then pass it on to her, and she would have not only contracted it, but have repercussions that far exceed what you would have possibly as a young person, because I don't want to give the impression that right. young people cannot be adversely affected by right. COVID-19, because that is not true. That's another lie that people have been saying as it relates to Black people can't get it, young people can't get it. It has no age stamped on it. It has no socioeconomic status stamped on it, except that Black people are getting it disproportionately than Black and brown people than others in our country. But anybody can get it. And you don't have to be deathly ill to have it. And so I just want to make sure that our listeners understand that. If council member, if you didn't say anything that wasn't nothing but the truth, and that was when you said, I take this seriously. And I'm praying that by doing this kind of podcast, having you all on that are experienced, you're living it. Mm-hmm. You know, Miss Burgess says, she said, I'm essential. And she's there every day. And she's been there every day. And Miss Kinsler's living in a building with, you know, 90 other seniors. And they're in a high-risk population. And so people just need to be, if you're not mindful as it relates to you being healthy, then please be mindful to ensure that we're healthy, because yeah. that's the kind of people we are. As mm-hmm. Black people, as descendants of African people, we are communal people. It's not about I, it's about we. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate this time that you spent with me, Ms. Burgess. I just wanna applaud you for doing a great job at your building. Ms. Mm-hmm. Kinsler, I appreciate you being on and indulging me in this technology platform. And Council Member Stokes, thank you for reaching out to Chris Simon, who's our CEO, and just asking to share this information. And I hope the models that you all have in your senior building will be ones that others can incorporate as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being on the podcast. And I hope to meet you and hug you in a few months. And continue to do well. So that's it for today. We are recording our Meeting You Where You Are podcast. And we ask you to subscribe so that you can get notification on Podomatic or the Apple Podcast app. Ms. Kinsler, get someone to show you how to download Podomatic or the Apple Podcast app. And then you can see all of my podcasts that I've done. That'll pass some of your time away. And they're very interesting. And I have great guests. So thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Stay healthy. Stay safe. And stay home as long as we need to in order to flatten the curve.